What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Listen up, Friar faithful. 97.3 The Fan's Padres Roundtable is on the air.
Unbelievable!
It's time to discuss everything going on with the Padres. The 97.3 The Fan crew is here for the most in-depth discussion on the Friars in our weekly Padres Roundtable, delivered by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. And now, here's your host, Ben Higgins.
Padres fans, we have nearly made it through the All-Star break. The second half is upon us, and it is time to wrap up the first half and look ahead on our Roundtable Pizza. San Diego Padres 97.3 The Fan Roundtable, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. Joining us, a smaller cast than usual this week, Tony Gwynn Jr., enjoying a well-earned All-Star break. And, of course, my friend Stephen Woods on his way to Manchester, England, actually arriving there for his 50th birthday in Oasis. But we have Matt Scraby at the end. Paulie Rindle with us. Braden Soprenet.
What's up?
And Chris Ello. All right, before we kind of do the review and look forward, since last week's roundtable, Padres took 2-3 against the Philadelphia Phillies. Takeaways, Chris, and how encouraging that series was to wrap up the first half of the season for the Padres.
It was necessary, I think, to get that series. I looked at this a couple of days ago. I mean, look, we've had 3 days to look at everything now because nothing's been happening. So I went through. I mean, the Padres are 34-13 against losing teams. That's incredible. But they're only 18-31 against winning teams. I think they needed a little feather in their cap, and taking 2 out of 3 from the Phillies is a feather in their cap. So it was a good thing to go into the break.
Braden, arguably, was maybe their most important series of the entire first half to close that out. A sweep would have been absolutely beyond great if they had taken that last game, but certainly had their chances, and to beat the pitchers that they did told me something about what I wasn't sure about, their playoff chances in October.
Yeah, it looked good. I thought that was a great way to start the second half a little bit going into break, being able to take a team that's going to be in the playoffs and win 2 out of 3, an organization that has gotten the best of you probably more times than not over the last 10 years. And, not to keep track of all the tiebreakers, but now Philly doesn't win the tiebreaker of you at the end of the year. Now you're split. So, I think that was encouraging from a lot of standpoints. And as you mentioned, Ben, the way they were able to beat some of the pitchers that they had in that rotation with not necessarily the best arms in the Padres rotation. It was good to see.
So that means if the Padres and Phillies finish with the same record at the end of the year, they'll go to the home run swing off.
I was going to say,
we're in trouble.
They got Kyle Schwarber.
We're in trouble. Yeah, we better get Willie McCovey out of retirement.
That's right.
No idea what the next tiebreaker is.
Is Craig Vaughn available?
Specifically, Paulie, though, the win over Zach Wheeler and Jackson Huge. Merrill hitting two home runs. Hard to understand at least how important it feels, at least in this moment.
Yeah, I don't know what everybody else's predictions were heading into that series, but I was just the way things had been going for the Padres, and that's a good Phillies team. I looked at that weekend series and I go, I'm hoping that they can steal one, because I imagine the Padres were underdogs in all three games. I was hoping to steal one. Don't get swept. And I loved that win on Friday, but I really loved that win on Saturday, because Jackson Merrill showed up and showed out with those two home runs and started to get some swagger back. You know, 99 out of 100 times when we get to the All-Star break, regardless of how the season is going, I think you're always ready for that break. Get the guys, especially on the team, get them a little bit of a reset. I think this might be the one time out of 100 where you're like, maybe we could have pushed that All-Star break another week or two, because it seems like the team was finally starting to click and they went out on such a high note. And Jackson Merrill in particular was starting to feel it. And then you got to take 5 days off or whatever. You're like, oh, of course. I hope it continues. I hope they continue to roll just off that momentum. But it was huge. It was massive to take two out of three from them.
And of course, Matt, they got that win on Saturday without three of their top relievers available as well. And I've been saying for a couple of weeks, Padres need a different formula to win games. It can't always be get up 2-1 and then hand the ball over to four guys in the bullpen who have to be perfect for the last four innings. You can't walk a tightrope for 2.5 months to the playoffs. They needed to find a different formula, and at least for one day they found it with Jackson Merrill home runs and other guys in the bullpen stepping up in higher leverage roles like David Morgan.
Yeah, I really like what David Morgan's doing, and I think he's going to be pretty important for the stretch run. And I like that he's getting this experience now before the postseason, before some of the bigger games later in the year. He can make his mistakes now, and then he can learn from those, and he can be better down the stretch. But correct me if I'm wrong, did Jackson Merrill hit two high fastballs out for a home run? Because that was his kryptonite there for, I don't know, 2 months. He could not hit the high fastball. But I'd rather him ruminate in the Zach Wheeler double home run game than what he was doing heading into the break, because I feel like Jackson Merrill wants to get back to this as soon as possible.
Yeah, baseball's always amazing. I think the next day Bob Scanlon did a little breakdown and showed that Jackson moved his shoulders by like 1/4 of an inch.
Did he even know he moved his shoulders?
No. Of course. Now he's, you know, back to being right, Jackson Merrill. Yeah. Is that all it took was 1/4 of an inch?
Apparently.
No idea.
If that's the case, then Victor Rodriguez needs to be fired. if it really was just that simple.
You didn't see that quarter of an inch. All right, so
struggling forever.
Before we look ahead to the second half, let's look back. And I want to begin with what is a deceptively simple question, but I think it's kind of hard, because the Padres are 52-44 at the All-Star break. Last season, they were 50-49 at the All-Star break. So why isn't this team better, Braden, than last year's team?
I think they are better. I think they're playing better. Last year I was watching. I mean, every single game that I watched in the first half last year was incredibly frustrating. And I think I said multiple times on air, it's like, you are what you are, and you're a 500 team. And they're a 500 team, and we were talking about roller coasters, and we were talking about the ups and downs. And this season they jumped off to a better start, and they've just looked a lot better. I think the pitching staff has been a big reason for that. I think their bullpen's been a lot better. And you know what? I mean, some of the stars are starting to figure it out. I mean, Xander Bogaerts has quietly put together a lot better numbers, and I was shocked to see how his numbers compare to Mookie Betts in the first half of the season. He's outplayed Mookie statistically.
Did you know that Xander Bogaerts is no longer a Padre?
That's right. We traded him. We DFA'd him months ago. But he turned it around. Jackson Merrill, as we've talked about, is turning things around. Fernando starting to turn things around again. Manny's had a great year, but I think the bullpen has been, you know, a big reason why they've had success. And I think they've played better, and their record shows that they've been better than last year's team. But last year's team got hot at the right time, and if the Padres this year can get even close to that, it'll be a really good team in October.
Brandon, I give you credit because as sports fans, we tend to be prisoners of the moment. And it's hard to remember, knowing how last year turned out, how frustrated we were with that team through the first half of the season. Paulie,
so
I mean,
frustrating.
You do remember that at 50 and 49, they couldn't get anything going. It was constantly like, okay, they're almost back, and then they lose five games in a row.
Remember, yeah. they got killed by the Guardians in the first game of the second half to go 50 and 50.
I thought, oh, this season's toast.
That's
after
what I
that
said.
First game, it was awful. Yeah, last year it was win two, lose three, win three, lose four. Like, it was just back and forth. They could never get going. Thank God this team started off the way they did, because we've talked about it a ton over the last few weeks, that which you can't do, I understand, but if you took away that hot start, they've been a pretty sub-average, you know, below-average offense, and it's been pretty tough to watch, thank God, for this bullpen. So I think I'd probably lean towards this team is still better, just because they're just better on the margins, like the bullpen, how they're able to stay in just about every single game. I mean, Padres offense, they're not going to blow any teams out of the water right now, but they're also not going to get blown out of the water, at least very rarely, because they hang around. So if they can just start clicking offensively and make it so that every single time it's not a high leverage game on the line moment for that bullpen, I think that's going to do wonders.
But Matt, does it even make sense? You know, yes, they have a better record, but last year's team had all-star outfielders in Jurickson Profar and Jackson Merrill. They had Ha-Sung Kim, who contributed all year long. He's obviously gone. How is this team better than last year's team?
I think, well, number one, I think Manny is a better version of himself, maybe even the best version in his career. And I predicted yesterday he's going to win the batting title and he's going to win National League MVP. So I fully believe that, too, because he is having a season right now that is one that we're going to remember if it continues the way it is. I also think that second year of Mike Schilt ball, I guess is what I'm going to call it. They're finally settled into how Mike Schilt wants to play. They're all buying into the same thing. Last year, they started the year, like we said, roller coaster. Mike Schilt was defending them like crazy, even if he looked a little crazy. And I just think that they have fully bought into what this coaching staff and what Mike Schilt wants them to do.
Chris, how do you compare the first half of this season to the first half of last season?
Allow me to be the one, Ben.
Oh, here we go.
To take a little cold water and douse all of these guys. Last year's team was better than this year's team, in my estimation. Even at this point in the season, the record is better this year. But I don't think this team is better. And I don't think, I think if you're being realistic, if this team, and you said guys are showing some signs, but if this team doesn't do a whole lot better offensively, if this team does not get healthier in the starting rotation, I don't know that you can count on the bullpen to hold up. Are all four of those guys, the four horsemen, are they all going to go 90 appearances and still be throwing BBs in September? I have a lot of concerns about this. And last year's team, 43-19 to close the season, you'd have to play superhuman for this team to duplicate that. So I think this team is going to have to do a lot better in the second half than they did in the first half if they want
to
make it.
But they don't have to do as well in the second half.
They don't have to go 43-19. They're going to have to do something.
I am forced to kind of agree with Chris, though. I don't think this team is better than last year's team, despite the better record at the break. Simply, last year's team had more players, more production up and down the order. They had a better bench. Undoubtedly, they had a better bench. This year's team has won on the margins a little bit better with the bullpen. And quite frankly, they've gotten, I don't want to say lucky, but their one-run and two-run record has been so good that it's kind of masked some of the flaws that, quite frankly, they were a little unlucky to be only 50-49 at the break last year, Braden.
Yeah, but my counter to that is I think, they're still, I don't know how they're winning games.
Well, and there was a lot of runs than the other team.
I just don't know how they're doing that with their lineup and everything. And like when I was watching on vacation, I just would be like, they won again? Like how did and I think there's something to the Mike Schilt play. I think there's something to the way that they've bought in. I think there's some to some of the underlying things that we don't necessarily see on a daily basis that has made this team a lot better. And I think again, a lot of the benefits of last year were in the second half. I mean, David Peralta was about to get cut before he hit a home run in Texas. and he went on a tear. So I think the bullpen has played so much better, and the pitching staff has done so well from margin guys, it outweighs the offensive production from last year's team that you've seen. And the other thing too is just I can't make a whole distinction on this until after the trade deadline, because I honestly don't think you need a lot at the deadline to make everybody else be better. I mean, one, maybe two bats in the lineup that are average players, I think are going to do wonders for this team, and you might start seeing a little bit more depth in the bench just by moving guys into spots that are probably more their roles.
So our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable, presented commercial-free by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. And speaking of last year's team, we
had quick, can I have a cross-examination of Brady?
Yeah, go ahead.
Now what do we got here? Lawyer Chris?
Yeah. Here's my thing about, you know, responding to your positive angle that worries me. They're a minus 14 run differential this season if you take away 21-0, and if you take away the game the Dodgers gave them with Kike Hernandez pitching. They've been outplayed and outscored. Those things tend to hurt you as the season goes along. Those, to me, are indicators that maybe your record is a little better than it should be right now. That's why I think they have to play better and do better and perform better in order to keep the record what it is.
They definitely need to play better. But I still think this year's team at this point is better than last year's team at this point.
To be fair, I would say that the two teams that the Padres are competing with, the Giants and the Cardinals, for the last they're also probably record-wise better than they should be.
Yeah, okay.
Both of those teams are very
flawed. Let me ask you this too, Chris. Have you seen the schedule in September?
For the
San Diego Padres?
Well, as long as they're playing losing teams, I feel
good
about it.
There's a lot of teams that are going to be dumping their rosters at the trade deadline.
September's time to eat.
September's
nice.
Don't
get me wrong. I think
you've got to make it through August, though. August sucks. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I think they're going to get where we want them to get, but I just don't believe that they're playing well enough at this moment to get there.
Fourth easiest strength of schedule in baseball in the second half of the season for the Padres going forward, and easiest in the NL West. Now, there are tough stretches, including 2 weeks that are almost all Dodgers-Giants that will probably have an outsized impact on the second half of the season. Before we go to the second half, though, I want to continue to look back at the first half. And we had a little fun with this topic on our show this morning as I brought up the four guys last year that are no longer with the team that all had at least a one WAR contribution for the Padres. Jurickson Profar, Ha-Sung Kim, Kyle Higashioka, and Donovan Solano. And I asked the question, if you could just bring one of those guys back right now, put him in the Padres lineup, which would you do? And Matt Scraby's doing the hand.
This is simple. It's Kyle Higashioka.
That's what Paul said.
That's what
as
I
well.
Said.
Braden?
I'd say, is he allowed to play in the postseason?
He's not?
He's not.
You got to take it like it is.
All right, take it like it is. I'd still rather have Profar.
Okay.
Just the vibes he brings to the team.
Like Profar to get you to the playoffs and then back
to
Bryce
Johnson.
Yeah, then
you got to lose him and figure out how the chemistry is all messed up.
I mean, we don't even know that Profar's going to be Profar.
Are we past the trade deadline yet?
Chris, who would you take?
Profar.
You would take Profar.
I'd take Profar.
He's already done more than Higashioka's done all season in just a week.
It's true.
You've been complaining all week about the catching situation.
Of course I have.
Higashioka was a good...
You haven't asked me to complain or not about left field, but if you want me to, I will.
He's not
and
a
so
massive...
would almost
no,
everybody
I don't want
else.
You to.
Okay,
I don't want you to.
I mean, if you looked at... Did you guys see like what Higashioka's numbers were when he rolled into town? He had the same amount
of one good game that doubled his season output.
He had the same amount of home runs as Martin Maldonado, and his average was like barely higher than Martin Maldonado's.
My answer, which none of you said, was Ha-Sung Kim, who is now healthy and
he's actually eligible.
I try to look at this from the perspective of an outsider. I'm the Twins general manager. Wouldn't you take a guy who had back to back seasons over 5 WAR? And yes, he had a bit of a down season in 2024 before signing with the Rays. Jurickson's had one pretty good season. It was last year. Have no idea if he's going to be Jurickson again. Kyle Higashioka, yes, the need is great, but he's a backup catcher. He's always been a backup catcher. You have no idea if he's going to do anything in the second half of the season. The one guy out of those four that I would trust to have a solid second half, play great defense, be versatile, speed. He's already beloved in the clubhouse and by San Diego fans. I thought it would be an easy call. Just bring Ha-Sung Kim back.
Yeah, but we're not talking about the Twins if you're going to be the Twins GM and want just the best overall player. We're talking about the Padres and who addresses the biggest needs.
Give me the best overall player and I'll take my chances finding a spot
I think
for him.
Even Higashioka's mediocre numbers as a backup catcher in Texas. He comes in. He knows most of the pitching staff. He's also beloved in that clubhouse. He was a fan favorite. And I keep going back to when we had letters to AJ on our show last Thursday. He brings the analytical approach, and he broke it down in layman's terms for us that Higgy like cracked the code for Petco Park. His swing was perfect, and that's why that's at least a contributing factor into why he had so much success here, especially in the second half and the postseason last year, because that short porch in left field with his swing, they called it the Higgy Bank, the Western Metal Supply Building. Like, he actually can succeed here at Petco Park, something not a lot of guys can do, and he's an instant upgrade over what you have been rolling out there at the catcher position.
Anybody want to say anything good about Donovan Solano? Or
he's not having a great year.
I will say that the Padres need better.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Bench players like Donovan Solano really badly compared to the others. Obviously, you could put Ha-Sung Kim there. Ultimately, I was forced to kind of concede. Kyle Higashioka probably helps this team more than anybody else at the moment.
One last thing on Ha-Sung Kim. We talked about the team this year being better on the margins. That includes one of my favorite areas of the game.
Base running.
Ha-Sung Kim.
Not a great base runner.
Not a good base
runner. But hey, Chris, his helmet falls off while he runs.
I don't mind that. I just mind him getting thrown out all over the place.
Defense is also important.
Yes, it is.
All right, one more question on the first half, and then we can move on. I think Manny Machado is the obvious choice of first half Padres MVP. You can put Fernando Tatis Jr. into the conversation as well. I'd probably put Nick Pivetta into the conversation. But who, in your guys' mind, was the most underrated contributor for the Padres in the first half of the year? A guy maybe we didn't talk about quite as much, but was pretty important to the Padres' success. Chris, you want to go first on this one?
Boy, everybody made the All-Star team, right?
That
contributed. Gavin Sheets, I mean, I don't know if he can be underrated.
Yeah, he's got a lot.
He got so much love for what he did. I don't know that I could back this up enough, but I'm going to try to answer your question. I'm going to say Randy Vasquez.
Good call.
Three wins is not enough. But the fact is, he posted, as Manny likes to say. You know, he was out there. Gave you your five or six innings. He drove me crazy, too, not throwing enough strikes. But at least he was legit starter who gave you a chance to win. I think I'd say that that would be underrated.
I think Randy Vasquez is an excellent call for underrated. I'll throw out Jay Cronenworth, who very quietly has put together, you know, solid 1.5 WAR first half of the season, despite defensive metrics that do him no favors. I think he's a better defender than the numbers give him credit for. You know, the analytics would say that Jake is a very poor second baseman in Major League Baseball. When I watch him play, I don't get the sense that he's a poor second baseman, but he gets on base, and it's something that other guys on this team have struggled to do, whether it's walks or getting hit by a pitch. He finds his way onto the base paths. He's come up with a couple of clutch hits when they've needed him to. And you don't say a lot about Jake other than mostly, why did they sign him to such a long-term deal? He's overpaid. But Jake's had a pretty solid, underrated first half of the season. Braden?
I like what Chris is saying with Vasquez. That's what I was going to say. I think the fifth starter in general has been really good. I mean, I think Ryan Burger's done a great job in filling in and keeping the rotation going. I think, you know, Kolek, even though he's probably getting hit around a little bit more than Vasquez, I think he's come in and done a very serviceable job. You know, you saw Kyle Hart make a couple of starts that were good, but he came in the other day, you know, as a bullpen arm and shut things down for the Padres. That kind of like last guy on the roster from the pitching side and the guys that are getting the miles between AAA El Paso and San Diego for the pitching staff, those players have been a big reason why this team has the record that they currently have.
Any other thoughts on from that side of the panel?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still Vasquez for me. I would probably, again, if he's underrated, I guess you would say Gavin Sheets, because Gavin Sheets was a guy that just came onto the scene in spring training and he was raking and hitting home run after home run. And we're like, is he going to be able to do this in the regular season? The power has been there. He gives you a good at bat. It was him in left field originally, though, that made me go, I never want to see that again. Running into the wall. It was tough to watch. I don't know what the defensive metrics are going to say, the advanced analytics. Just the eye test tells me that Gavin Sheets actually may be serviceable in left field.
He's gotten a lot better.
He has improved dramatically over the course of the season, almost to the point where I'm not so sure that they need to have left field be a top priority at the trade deadline like it was at least, you know, a month ago or even more than that. You're like, we have to get a left fielder. We have to get a left fielder. I'm starting to lean towards Gavin Sheets may be able to get the job done every day in left field, and that would allow you to go out and get a catcher or some bench pieces, a DH, you know, whatever you need, whatever you can get. I'm starting to think Gavin Sheets may be okay in left field.
I mean,
he's really improved.
I agree with that.
I think he allows you to at least consider. You need a bat. Does it have to be a left fielder? Maybe not, you know, at least as badly as it needed to be, Matt, a few weeks ago.
I do like the Gavin Sheets pick. I'm tempted to say Xander Bogaerts, but I'm not going to, because Xander did have a nice second half of the first half. But I'm going to say Adrian Morejon, because no one really talks about him. And he has come in some situations that the Padres needed him to pitch well, and he has. He's gotten the outs that he needs. He's an all-star, and he just seemingly keeps getting better to me throughout the year.
A week ago, the answer was definitely Adrian Morejon. And then he got the all-star game, and I think he got a little more of the credit. And was
tough to be underrated as an all-star.
That is true. No one talks about him.
Yeah. Don't ask Scraby these questions. He still has Tyler Wade as the first half MVP.
I was tempted to say him, too.
I know you are.
All right. Is he still alive, by the
is
way?
Is he on the team?
Yeah, they showed him on camera the other day in the dugout. I mean, where is he?
I think we've asked that question every roundtable for the last, like, 3 weeks now. We're like, where's Tyler Wade at?
I think I've seen Matt Carpenter in the dugout.
This is a complete aside, not on my agenda, and it's not a shot at Tyler Wade, but I was looking at the bench contributions for the Padres this year. This has to be the worst bench that A.J. Preller has ever put together. No. You know, the leader in OPS off the bench and the leader in WAR off the bench is Bryce Johnson already with .2. Everybody else is significantly into the negatives. I mean, it has been the least depth that I think we've ever seen from an A.J. Preller team, which means it's an easy place to usually upgrade your roster at the trade deadline in the second half of the season.
It's true.
Yeah, it's when you're pinch hitting for Martin Maldonado
in the fifth.
In the fifth inning, and the guy you're bringing up has just as much chance of getting a hit as he does.
You're not in a good spot. You're not in a good spot.
I root so hard for a guy like Trent Brooks. I mean, how can you not root for these guys?
Yeah, he just is.
You're not in a good spot when Trent Brooks is your silver bullet, as they said off.
I know he's a local kid, so we have to root for him. It's pretty easy for me not to root for Trent Brooks. I just don't see it. It's pretty easy for me
to not root for him.
Of course I hope he turns around. It's more like I'm kind of ready for the Trenton Brooks experience to be over.
It's almost comical that the parade of players they have brought up from AAA from the beginning of the season, whether it's Connor Joe, Oscar Gonzalez, Tirso Ornelas, Luis Camposano, you'd think the luck of the draw. Someone would come up and have a good week or two, would have three or four hits. None of them have been able to do a single thing on the big league level at all.
You just named names that I thought were going to be big contributors to the team this year. Connor Joe, I thought, was going to be a huge contributor. Oscar Gonzalez, I like what I saw out of him, but he just wasn't doing the job well enough. Trent Brooks, I like him as well, but he's on a team that needs him to produce right now, and that's not what he's going to do. But there have been so many guys that we were like, they're going to be huge contributors to this team, and they just have not panned out this year.
It's kind of a tired line, I fully admit it, but the one that I like to go to every year is always championship teams don't have blank in their everyday lineup or on their everyday roster. And like right now, I think you could probably throw like six current Padres into that blank part of the statement. Championship teams don't have Trenton Brooks out there. Championship teams don't have Bryce Johnson out there. They don't have Diaz Maldonado. Like, I mean, look, you would have to take serious upgrades at other parts of the roster to be able to live with the production that we're getting at the catcher spot. You can handle one black hole in your lineup. It's when you have two or three back-to-back-to-back in the bottom part of your lineup that has just killed this offense.
I mean, the Houston Astros won a championship with playing Martin Maldonado. He really wasn't that much better. He was a little better defensively, but he managed the pitching staff well as he does now. But offensively, he's been bad for many, many years. You can have like one of those guys and still win a championship. But Paulie's right. There's too many uncontributive players. Is that a word? Non-contributive.
It is now.
Players.
It is. Scraby gives me this hard time, but the people who listen know that I watch 99% of the games on DVR because I don't commit 3 hours a night to a game, but I do watch them all. And I hate to say it,
Is too valuable, guys.
I know, but hey, time, right.
Good for him.
My time's too valuable. But what I hate to say is that I can fast forward through too many Padre innings now.
7, 8, 9 coming up.
Yeah, because they just go right through it. Yeah, and then it's time for the next. Yeah. So,
what do we think about Iglesias? Is his defense good enough to make it worth it for him to keep a roster spot?
Yes.
Who are you going to replace him with? Is basically my counter to that. Yeah.
Now he's also been a much worse version of Iglesias than the Mets had.
That's true.
Last year, so you can't say that that was a huge successful signing, but his defense has been good. He had the one game that he helped him win offensively. He's done more than the rest, but that's a very low bar.
But like Paul said, you can survive with one black hole in the batting order. You can survive with a defensive guy on the bench as long as you have
have a couple of those guys
right.
at least.
So,
yeah, you need offensive guys.
I need a couple offensive guys to help.
There's a space on this roster for Jose Iglesias. There's not space for handful of other guys.
There's also space on this roster for has anybody seen Champ Summers recently? That was an 84 reference.
Oh, I was like,
what?
I'll be looking for Champ Summers.
Give me Champ Summers.
Is Jim Leyritz available?
He hits a big home run.
That's okay. That's a version. There you go.
Oh, well, I was actually alive.
Let me tell you, Champ Summers was a threat that year.
Jim Leyritz.
All right, we're down to about 2 weeks now until the trade deadline. And I think it's a fool's errand to try to predict what players A.J. Preller is going to acquire. He's looking at the whole league. He's probably looking at a bunch of guys we haven't even brought up once. And so I'm not going to ask you to say, who are the Padres going to get? Instead, let's focus on the strategy that you think the Padres are going to employ, because they could go a number of different directions. All in. Everyone's available, including Ethan Salas, maybe even Leo Dallas DeVries. Try to acquire the best players possible, and you are going all in for a World Series title. There could be a more conservative approach where you're just trying to pick up a couple of, back-end bats, maybe one more arm, but you're not looking to trade any of your top prospects. A third kind of hybrid is, are you considering trading some of your own big league players in order to shore up other areas of your Dylan Cease or another player with an expiring contract go to a team that needs pitching more so the Padres can address some of their offensive needs? Or is there a possibility the Padres are going to be very quiet at the deadline, not wanting to add salary? They're already on the threshold of the second luxury tax threshold. We don't really know what a John Seidler ownership looks like at a trade deadline. Those are kind of the four different pathways that I can see the Padres taking. Matt, which one do you think is most likely in the next couple of weeks?
Well, I definitely think they're going to be making moves. And I talked about this last night in the Scraby Show. Like, if Dylan Cease is involved in a trade, that means you're getting someone back that's going to help this team immediately. You're not getting prospects back, which is what I've seen. Like, we need to restock the farm, and so let's trade away Dylan Cease and get a bunch of prospects. If you're going to trade a major league player, you're going to get someone back that's going to immediately go in the lineup or go in the rotation or wherever they're at. But I think that there is a possibility they do trade a major league player on the team right now with an expiring contract. It's not going to be Michael King, so by process of elimination, I think it's going to be Dylan Cease if that happens. But I do think AJ is going to be aggressive. He's also going to do his AJ thing where like you said, we're going to wake up one day and there's going to be a trade announcement. It's going to be for some guy I've never heard of, and I need to go to Baseball Reference to figure it out. And that guy probably will contribute. Like Dennis Lynn the other day said Corey Lee, the catcher from the White Sox. That's a name that I think is an AJ Preller type player if he doesn't go all in with like major league players.
That's acquiring on the margins, though, Paul.
Yes.
Someone like Corey Lee. AJ tends to like to go bigger and acquire players. We talked about this on our show. Not only that could help for the stretch run, but he's looking for players that might be under control for another year or two that could become a future part of the core of the team. But that is going to cost, obviously, probably one of those top prospects, if not both of them.
Yeah, it's so impossible to predict an AJ Preller trade deadline. Nothing, as we've learned, nothing would surprise me. Like him making a blockbuster trade with the Pirates for Paul Skeens and O'Neill Cruz wouldn't surprise me, honestly. And then him not doing anything, that would actually probably surprise me. But like, what my point is, like, the whole spectrum is available to AJ Preller.
It's probably presumptuous of us to think that he drives around and listens to the round table.
Right.
But if he did, how many laughs does he get when we're sitting there making all these predictions?
He's like, you
right?
morons.
Yeah, right.
If you only knew. Yeah. I lean towards, I think AJ makes a splash. And I have no idea what that looks like, but I think it's going to be at least a big name or two. Like, you're like, whoa, I hadn't even really thought about that. I think he's going to push all of his chips in to win this year and I guess next year as well. As we go towards a potential lockout after next season, like, I think he's going to be in win now mode, and maybe that's just because I want him to be in win now mode. Push everything in, deal with next year, deal with 3 years from now, like in 3 years. Like, don't waste another year. We've seen two collapses now in the last 5 years. I don't want to see them trade any major league talent. I don't want to see them trade Dylan Cease. As poor as he's been all year, I still think it's more likely that Dylan Cease gets back to being Dylan Cease in the second half of this season than you get more production from whoever you acquire in a Dylan Cease trade. I just don't think that trade is there.
I actually don't think that AJ Preller worries about his job security. As crazy as that sounds, I think he feels like he's going to be the general manager of the Padres for the rest of his life, and he's going to continue to GM the Padres like that he is going to be that team. I don't think he's going to trade Leodalis DeVries. I think he's going to keep him. Maybe Ethan Salas if the right deal presents itself, but he's not going to give up Ethan Salas unless he really thinks he's getting something in return. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Padres don't go big, Braden, this trade deadline. And even if you don't see a lot of moves, there are guys on the waiver wire we've wondered why he hasn't picked up, you know, so far. There'll be guys after, you know, July 31st on the waiver wire that he may fill some of those really back end of the roster upgrades simply in like August 15th when other guys are DFA'd and like, okay, now that we're done with our trades, now I know exactly.
Try to catch some lightning in a bottle with somebody
later in the season.
So out of your four options, I think if I had to put my prediction out there, which is impossible, for AJ Preller trades. I would say somewhere between 2 and 3. I agree with you, Ben. I don't think he's trading Leo, and I don't think he's trading Salas. I don't think he's trading either of those players. I think they're off limits. I know we've seen the rumors of maybe the Salas. That could also be some smoke for other teams to try to be interested in leverage and everything like that. But I think those guys stay in the Padres organization. If I had to pick a Padre that might get traded at the deadline that's a major leaguer, I would say it would be Robert Suarez over everybody else. But I still don't really think he's going to take away from the bullpen, that has been the biggest strength for the Padres. And we've heard reports from Dennis Lynn and others that have said they want to add to said bullpen. So I think it's somewhere in between 2 and 3. I would not be shocked if he ends up trading a major league player. But I agree with Paul. Like, Dylan Cease, he's more valuable to your team in the second half of the season than he is in any type of prospect you might get back or anything else that might come back in a trade, because he's a veteran that logs innings and posts every 5 days. And I agree with Paul. I think he's got a better chance of figuring it out and being the Dylan Cease that you know, more so than just falling apart in the second half of the season. I think he's going to add a couple of bats. I think they're going to be solid pieces, but I wouldn't be shocked if he gets like a Jarren Duran. I don't see that happening as much. So I would probably go on the lines of he's going to add a couple of bats here and there that are average pieces and roll with his stars that he has.
Just quickly, I want to say for the record, I do not want to trade Dylan Cease. I knew I brought him up earlier. I think you guys are right. He's probably going to figure it out, and this is the year to go for it. So I just wanted to add that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Braden, I think you hinted at a bit of a hot take there that I would agree with. If you can get someone to overpay for Robert Suarez,
yeah,
even if it's prospects, and you could flip those prospects for someone else, mm-hmm, at some point, I would consider that. As much success as Robert Suarez has had, he's gone at the end of the season. He's going to opt out. and he always feels like a bit of a ticking time bomb. Like,
he's
you know,
even a ticking time bomb in the All-Star game.
What was the game where, you know, the you'd put the blocks in and the timer would go off and it eventually would explode?
Oh, yeah.
And the Padres have avoided that for the most part, Chris, with Robert Suarez. But if you got someone who like was enamored with Robert Suarez and they were willing to really give up a lot, whether it's offense or even some top prospect type guys that you could flip for someone else, I would be comfortable with Jason Adam or Adrian Morejon closing games for the Padres the rest of this season.
I sat here patiently while everybody went down the line, and I was hoping nobody would mention Robert Suarez so that I could be the one to say Robert Suarez. But I did say it yesterday on the show. Scraby and I both made predictions for the second half. The one that I feel strongest about is that Jason Adam and or Adrian Morejon will be the closer in late August and September. I don't see any reason to not offer Robert Suarez right now. He is the one area that you have. He's a luxury, and it's a wonderful luxury, but he is a luxury, and you can't afford to carry around a luxury when there's the rest of your squad is hurting so badly on offense and getting guys on and, you know, creating runs. Jason Adam and Adrian Morejon both have better whips. They better have batting averages against. They have better ERAs. They're just as reliable. I love Robert Suarez. I love his entrance into the game. I think you got to trade him.
And it sounds like from reports from the minor leagues that we've had on all week on our show that San Antonio's pitching staff is loaded with bullpen arms, and High Fort Wayne's loaded with bullpen arms, and El Paso's got a lot of bullpen arms, and that seems to be the depth that the Padres have is bullpen arms throughout the organization. I
mean, they can't trade prospects, right? They don't have any more left. And we already discussed they're not going to do DeVries or Salas, we don't think. I think Robert Suarez is the only way to go here.
In a three-team trade.
David Morgan has started to show me a lot. He had a couple of home runs that, like, oh, I wish he could have that pitch back. But for the most part, he's been really, really good as well out of the Padres bullpen. It's been a
and he came from Double A.
It's clearly the strength. Bradley Rodriguez has had a little bit of injury issues, but you know you could see him come back as well. There are enough arms, bullpen arms in this system that you could trade from a strength there for sure.
I do think sucks to say, but like I think with Suarez, his numbers, like him being an all-star, you always take the league leader or a top two or three league leader in saves. The Padres don't beat anybody by more than four runs.
Yes, he gets a chance almost every night.
He does what he has done very well. There is no denying that. But like, if you didn't have Suarez this year and you had Estrada or Adam or Morejon was your closer, with the amount of times the Padres win by four or less, three or whatever, it's always such a close ballgame. Like, is there any reason to think that they wouldn't be the league leader in saves?
I know an All-Star game means less than nothing, but I do feel like you get to the playoffs, you're facing good teams with good batters, and that the hits that he gave up in the All-Star game, just wait, swing late, line drive to right field. You can do that against 100 miles an hour. As long as you're not swinging out of your shoes for a home run, I feel like Robert Suarez can be gettable by better offenses, and those are the ones that you're going to have to beat if you want to go to the playoffs. I think Adam is a much more difficult pitcher to face for good batters. And there's a reason he was voted in by players into the All-Star game. They hate facing
him. I mean, think about like one of Adam's last outings of the first half against Philadelphia, where things unraveled real quick, and he got himself out of a bases-loaded jam. I feel like, and maybe you guys differ, I feel like Robert Suarez cannot handle damage. Once guys get on, it seems like he's more of a circus, and it's almost inevitable that he's going to give it up. And I also don't feel very comfortable. Like, when you have your closer right, like even with Josh Hader, you could bring him in the eighth inning and get a four-out save if there's guys with bases loaded or guys on base. I don't feel comfortable with Robert Suarez coming in with guys on base. Maybe it's just a recency bias of watching him, but I don't feel 100% confident as much as I would in Morejon or Estrada or Adam. And if you're going to go into the playoffs and face these good hitters, as Ben mentioned, you're going to be facing these guys in high leverage situations with men on base, and they're going to grind out at bats. And to me, out of the four, Suarez is probably my fourth pick to handle that situation.
And Suarez has been very good. I don't want
to. Yes, right. I wanted to get this in there. We just destroyed the guy for a couple of minutes, and that's probably a little harsh coming from the person who brought it up, basically, you and I. But, you know, I say trade him, but let's at least appreciate what he's done before we completely blast the guy.
Well, he's gonna get a, big contract, right? I just don't think for what you get out of him is going to be worth a closer level contract at his age.
All right, it's time for our seventh inning stretch on our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable, presented by Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. And today's a non-baseball question was inspired by my friend Woods, who flew first class today, just arrived in England.
Really? He did go first class?
British Airways. He had a pod, his own pod.
Pods are so nice.
Gourmet meals. He treated himself. It was his 50th birthday. He spent just an insane amount of money.
It looked unreal.
What is this? Swaby, do you know the salary for the morning show, guys?
No, I don't.
I think he pretty much ate up his entire life savings.
We're not going first class anywhere on the afternoon show.
His life savings.
So the question.
He turned 50 once.
I know Matt said, I've got my answer right away. So the question today is, what is the fanciest, most first-class, hoity-toity experience you've ever had in your life?
All right, so before I got into radio, I worked for a conference company, and we did about 35 conferences around the country a year, and I traveled to almost all of them. And one of the hotels that we had our conference in was in Vegas, and it was they treated me like a king. When I got out of the plane at the airport, they met me, they put me in a limo, they took me to the hotel, and then once I got to the hotel, I went upstairs to my room thinking it was just going to be a single room. It was a three-bedroom suite with a gym and an indoor pool.
Wow.
So you know what I did? Because I was there for four nights, I slept in each one of those beds each night because I felt like I should have, and I did work out in the gym, and I did go for a swim in the pool. I mean, this was incredible. They didn't know that they were picking up a nobody, but they were picking up a nobody, and I was like, this is the best thing. And it had views of the strip. It was amazing. I will never forget that.
The idea of Scravy sleeping in every bed.
You know, the housekeeping was probably upset that I kept moving beds, but
Matt Scravy, Goldilocks.
Polly, you had never even flown to the East Coast when we went to Philadelphia. Right. So what's your answer?
Yeah, I hadn't had a whole lot of travel experience. I had a couple of choices. You know, I came from very simple upbringing, not a lot of fancy trips. Like, I can't wait to hear what Ben's story is. You know, the Rolls Royce to the Lakers game with Uncle Kareem or whatever. Nobody can match that. I mean, like, last year, I've never flown on a private plane. And we got to fly. We flew to Vegas for my wife's 40th on the JSX out of Carlsbad, which is like a shared private plane.
That is cool.
So, like, to have that and land on the tarmac and, like, have a stretch limo pick us up and off to a suite at the Cosmo, like, that was pretty amazing. I also had one other time, my senior trip after high school, everybody in our class was going to Cabo or Cancun or something. I was like, I don't like any of you. The last thing I want to do is go like to Mexico with any of you. Like, I never want to see most of you again. So me and my five buddies, we went to Palm Springs and Los Angeles. We had never really been to Southern California much because my buddy's dad, who was very well off, he had a couple of homes in Palm Springs. So we got to stay in one of his homes and have the run of the place for the week. He was actually staying nearby in Palm Springs and basically footed the bill for everything. And so we went to LA for a couple of days. He arranged for us to get in early and go to a taping of Conan O'Brien. He rented out an entire tour bus, the Star Maps tour. He was like, how much is it? Oh, $50 a person. They got all these other people on there. I'll just take the whole bus for my son's five buddies and him. So there was six of us on this double-decker cruising around Hollywood. We went to this restaurant on the top of the hills that night after the Conan taping. It was fine dining to the max. And just that whole like 24, 48 hours of getting to experience something that I had never experienced was really, really fun.
Braden, I know you just flew first class back from Italy. That was pretty cool. Any other great experiences?
That was super cool. That was very much like, I can't believe I'm in this seat right now. This is kind of insane. And that was the first time I ever went to like one of those airport club things. I was like, wow, this is cool. People do this all the time. Like, and you know, you're in a spot where it's like, I always get nervous. I'm like, first, they're going to know I don't belong here. And I don't know if I have to pay for things. Like, most of it's already paid for. And you're like, oh, what do I, you don't want to be the guy pulling out the, oh, I don't know. Or do I pay for that? Or, but you know, for me, I think like, the first class thing for the plane was cool. I honestly like, traveling with a D1 football team in a power conference is probably the nicest thing ever. I mean, it was like, everything was taken care of when I was traveling with TCU football. We flew American chartered, like, you'd get food on the way to the airport, and then you would get on the plane, and there was already, like, a snack bag for you. But they didn't know where the linemen were sitting, so everybody just got lineman portions. So I would have, like, two sandwiches, two king-size candy bars, a Gatorade, a liter of water. It'd basically feed me for the entire trip.
Yeah.
Staying in nice hotels. And the better the bowl game, the nicer the experience was for a lot of stuff. So probably traveling with a power conference football team, that was pretty pretty wild.
Chris, you've had some experience with some nice
things. I'm old. And
he's from Beverly Hills, too. Keep that in
mind. Yeah, I grew up in Beverly Hills. So
the wrong side of the tracks.
Right, I lived this lifestyle, the wrong as you guys side. Know.
So my entire story, Chris is like, that was a Tuesday for me.
He probably yelled at the young whippersnappers walking around over there.
I think my favorite experience in this category is sitting in the Ben Higgins seats for 2 years covering Laker basketball. Getting to be sitting on the floor at the Forum with Jack and Diane Cannon, whoever was there, Chevy Chase in those days, and Dr. Curlin and you. We didn't know each other then, but I know you were sitting over there. That was really incredible. I mean, Jordan, all these guys, Dominique Wilkins and Magic just right in front of you. I sometimes had trouble covering the actual game and doing what I was supposed to be doing. But the only if you want to talk about a splurge, my wife will back you up. I don't splurge on anything. I don't find anything that's more expensive normally to be better than anything else, except for the last car I bought. You guys know I've got my white Mercedes, and that's – people look at me and think I'm really arrogant, and maybe you're right. I'm not. I don't think.
What kind of money does the afternoon show make?
That's right.
I told you. I splurged.
Benny, can we get a salary check on the afternoon show?
Told Lori. I said, I haven't done it. I'm like 100 years old. I'm splurging for one car.
And I could say this about Chris. It took him – almost a month to buy a pair of shorts that were like $100.
It
took
Chris.
The Bulls shorts. Remember the Bulls shorts?
No, I don't buy anything. I treated myself on that.
You're doing it with the car.
I mean, I've had a few to choose from. Got to play Pebble Beach with my dad for my high school graduation. Did Shadow Creek in Vegas. Was amazing. Did an $800 like dinner tasting menu at a farm outside of New York City with my buddy Scott. But you're right, Paulie. There's nothing beats going with my grandpa, the doctor of the Lakers, in his rolls with his driver, eating dinner at the Forum Club, surrounded by celebrities, and then walking down to put your feet on the floor, sit in those chairs, better than Jack Nicholson's seats, to watch. And then, of course, you know,
take
Kareem
that,
and
Jack.
Magic would come over to say hi to my grandpa and say, you know, pat me on the head.
Yeah, they didn't say hi to me.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't pat you on the head, Chris.
No, no. I was bugging them for interviews.
There's no fancier, hoitier, toitier experience than that. No.
That's
all right, we got
sick.
About 5 minutes left. I want to look ahead. And this is at the end. So, Paulie, how do you think the second half of the season plays out here for the San Diego Padres?
I think they make the playoffs. I really do. I think this team is currently constructed. We had all those trade scenarios. What's going to happen in the next 2 weeks? Impossible to predict. If they didn't add anything, I think this team could flounder and still make their way into the playoffs. I don't think they'd go very far as currently constructed, but I think they can get there. So that means with even marginal upgrades at the trade deadline and getting Michael King back and having Yu Darvish continue to progress and come back into the rotation full time, I think that the writing's on the wall for this team to, I'm not going to say go on a crazy run like they, what was their record, 43-19 last year. I'm not expecting that. You also don't need that because of having the better record to this point than last year compared to last year. So I do think it's available for the taking. You know, Jackson Merrill, if he can get rolling in the second half, Manny's going to post. I don't expect anything different from Manny. If Fernando can stay hot, get hot and stay hot, if Xander can play in the second half like he did over the last month plus, I think this team makes the playoffs, and I think they could go on a run depending on who they add.
Chris, what about you? Second half?
Well, I do. First of all, I think I have a bad feeling about the Dodgers kind of running away a little bit, and I'm saying that because, you know, they're getting Snell back, it looks like, eventually here. They're getting Glass now back. They're getting healthier. Why I bring that up is I think they're going to get the number one seed. Now, with that said, that leaves the Padres as a playoff team with either the 4 or the 5, as we know, or the 6. Well, if they're the 4 or 5 and they win, they got to immediately play the Dodgers again. So I'm going to hope that they come in the sixth spot this year and, you know, get into the playoffs. Let the Brewers or whoever, you know, the Phillies or Mets, whoever that is, let them play off to face the Dodgers and let the Padres be on the other side of the bracket. That's how I hope it plays out.
Maddie, what about you?
I'll just bring my predictions from yesterday that Chris and I did, and these are kind of overinflated predictions a little bit, but I said that Gavin Sheets is going to have 30 home runs by the time the season ends. He needs 16 more, and he's starting to hit them. He's starting to hit them at a faster rate. Nick Pivetta is going to set career highs in innings pitched, ERA, strikeouts, and then Manny Machado is going to win the batting title and the MVP.
That would be a good second half. Braden?
I think they get two bats at the deadline. I think they get a bullpen arm. I think they push the Dodgers for the division. I don't think they win the division, but I think it comes down to like last year. I think they're within three games of a division because I think the pressure of them winning puts pressure on LA, and the last team to do that was the Giants, and the Giants overcame them in the division. They didn't beat them in the playoffs, but that's what they did. I think with two additions with a bat, I think they could push the Dodgers.
Well, we'll know in a little over a month because we alluded to August in the schedule.
Sucks.
I mean, that mid-August, like 2 weeks, is going to be brutal. Yes, you get some relief in September with some beatable teams, but your division hopes and even playoff hopes could either be one way or the other after that stretch in August.
And I agree with Paul. If they don't make any upgrades, they could flounder out of it.
I'll say, because no one brings it up, brace yourself. There'll be a bad surprise somewhere along the line. A pitcher gets hurt. Something that feels like a gut punch. But ultimately, I think Fernando Tatis Jr. and or Jackson Merrill will catch fire. And the offense will be improved at the deadline. And you'll get back enough pitching with Darvish and King that you should fairly comfortably get to the playoffs at the end of the year. We will find out if that's true. We will rejoin you next week with another roundtable on Thursday for the cast. Matt Scraby, Paul Reindl, Braden Soprenin, and Chris Ello. I'm Ben Higgins. Thanks for joining us on our Roundtable Pizza Roundtable. Remember, it really is pizza royalty.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off. The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.